We welcome you today. We need to go through a couple of announcements and add several that are not in the bulletin. I think we'll just start out by thanking all the ones who came yesterday to the work day. We had a good turnout, and we had quite a list of things to be done, and under the, the driving force of Shane Rhodes, we got most of them done. But I really appreciate it. I know everybody had a good time, and we are thankful for the ones who did come and to clean up around the church and fix some things and whatnot. So it was a good day, and we do thank everyone who did show up. On the back, we have a couple of announcements. Jonathan and Leah Dennis in Kansas, their safe arrival of Corwin Tuesday night, and we're thankful for that. And Matt and Jean Green are the proud grandparents, and we're thankful for them. And we just rejoice in the safe arrival of young Corwin. Important announcement about the VBS. The week of June 21 through 25, there's going to be a vacation Bible school here. You can talk to Sheena about the details, the program, and the time frame that they're planning on functioning. But vacation Bible schools are labor intensive, and so we have needs for teachers, song leaders, game leaders, snack coordinators, helpers, whatever. And men, this is not just for women. If you happen to be free, if you can help, there will be a place for you too. So it's not just something a few of the mothers do. It's we do need help, and traditionally the ladies are the main force because of the time constraints. But if you are free that week, or perhaps at the time of the VBS, and you might talk to Sheena, they could certainly use your help as well. So don't feel left out, guys. You can join in and minister. But that'll be that week, June 21st through 25th, and plan on helping us, and talk to Sheena for the details. Inside, we have an announcement about the mission committee meeting tonight. Michael Ellenbarger will be meeting with the committee, but Michael will be here as well as in the evening service to take a few minutes and share his work in this past year on Navigator staff down at Texas A&M. And he'll be bringing us a report as to what he's been doing and the work down there, and his plans for the future. So come tonight to get caught up on his ministry with Navigators. And then for those on the committee or those who want to get involved in this way, plan on a brief meeting, Steve?
Yeah.
A brief meeting after the evening service of the Missions Committee, and we appreciate your being there. Today's Mother's Day, and whereas we do honor our mothers, our wives, very important blessing from the Lord, none of us would be here without our mothers, and we need to keep that in mind, lest we think we are greater than we really are. We owe a lot to our mothers. And guys, this is an important day for you. If ever during the year you did anything nice, do it today. Now, there's 365 days a year, and you need to be nice to your wife, and you need to be special to your wives and to your mothers. But, Lowe's is not the place this afternoon. Do something special. They are certainly worthy of your praise. They are worthy of your special attention today. They're worthy of that every day of the year. But take some time and make sure that your wife, your mother, knows of your love for them and your appreciation for what they do for you every day of your life. So, but we are thankful for the women of this church, the ladies, the wives and mothers that God has brought here. And we just are thankful for each one of you. Chris is going to come and lead us in our service. We trust as we praise the Lord and we focus in on one aspect of being believers later on in the message, We trust it'll be a blessing to you. Chris, would you come, please?
Good morning. If you'll stand and take your hymnals, we are going to start with a hymn of praise, number 21. Stand up and bless the Lord. It's number 21. Let's sing together. Together. Dear Lord, we come to you today and we just want to dedicate this service to you. Pray today that you would speak to us through your word. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you'll turn back to number 9, another hymn of praise. Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. It's number 9. Seated.
We want to continue our singing of praise to the Lord by actually singing a hymn that's in our hymn book number 12, but the men are going to come and sing an arrangement of Holy God, We Praise Thy Name.
Creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. Day and night they never stopped saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.
Scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles, and if you'll open your Bibles there, we'll read our scripture for today.
We're in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 18 today. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head above all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope. O Lord, our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for the ability to come into your house to give praise and thanks to you. And Father, all of these things that it talks about here in this passage that David prayed. Father, what a wonderful passage of Scripture it is. And Father, we do thank you and praise you and worship you this morning. Pray for the service this morning and the people that are here. Father, we pray that as we open your word, that you would apply it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would stand and take your hymnals again, but turn to the back of your hymnals, number 656. Number 656 is a reading, and we're just going to read it in unison. So ignore all the light and bold print, and we'll just read it together. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have been made. Just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. If the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart, to not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And turn back to number 66. To God be the glory, number 66.
Oh,
We'll dismiss the children at this time to Children's Church. And if you would please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the fact that we can come to you in an assembly such as this, and that we can sing your praises. You are a great God. As we focus, Father, on giving, help us never to lose focus of you. And help us to be able to say thanks be to you for your indescribable gift. We stand here and we live and we fellowship and we worship on the basis of that gift. And may we understand that even as we consider our response to you. Bless our time. Father, we are thankful for this day. We, again, would just express our gratefulness for wives and mothers. Pray your special blessing upon them this day. But bless us as we look in your word. Cause us to be quiet before you. May we be open before you as your spirit would teach us. And may we learn how we ought to be, even as your people. Thank you again for this time together, and we ask your blessing in your name. Amen. We are in the perhaps the largest single section on giving in the New Testament, and the historical context is Paul is trying to stir up or stirring up the Corinthians regarding a gift, a financial gift, to be added to that of a number of other churches to send to the needy ones down in Jerusalem. And it's in that as a context that he says much about giving, and we are looking at chapters 8 and 9 as that unit to talk about giving in a situation such as this, not necessarily send money to Jerusalem, but nevertheless giving in a how we give and why we give. And you remember last week we picked up the first few verses of chapter 8 and tried to be, as we're going through this passage, trying to be very simple. We're not dealing with all the details. But the thought in the first few verses in chapter 8 is that giving is not a calculated thing, but it's a response. As we realize the grace of God in our life, as we look at our life and we realize the grace of God operative in it, we respond. And that's the context of these chapters. And we have to, even as some of our songs stated, we have to confess that we are grace people. And therefore, if we are grace people, according to this passage, it's logical and it's perhaps natural that to some level our response will be giving. And giving, Paul just briefly touches on it, giving is twofold. One is giving of ourselves to the Lord. We place ourselves at his disposal. He gives us our life, we give him our life. And the second is that we give out of our resources, our physical resources, including money. And that's the context here. And if that's true, then giving should not be a burden. Whatever else you think of giving, it should not be a burden. It should not be something that somebody lays on you and says you must do, whatever. See, It should be a joy. It talks about being a gracious work. There's joy in it. It should be a blessing. You should be glad to be able to give at whatever. And today we just want to run over the rest of chapter 8 and chapter 9. And I realize we're skimming. We're missing some details. But again, just to give you that perspective, because I think we have been raised, most of us, in a kind of a, if you will, a culture of giving that makes it a requirement, a burden, something that is used as a tool and an obligation, and just all these heavy words, and some of them are reasonably correct, but we get the wrong idea. Oh, I have to give, and we want to not do that. We want to get the overall thought and the blessing from it. So we'll pick up at verse 9 of chapter 8 to continue, and we're going to just run through a number of verses. But it's interesting, see, that when, as he continues, we ended last week with verse 7, see that you abound in this gracious work. It's a work. Again, it is a grace to be able to give. You are giving graciously. And so it's no accident that he continues on with saying, let me tell you about grace. See? And let me tell you not just about grace, but let me tell you about what grace has done for you. Because it's this realization. What has grace done for you? That causes you to abound in this gracious work. So that's why he's moved. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to just stop there and say, what's that all about? What is the grace of our Lord? And the answer is, what he gave for us, see. He's not just talking in general, he's talking very specifically, see. And just think, and there's just a couple of comments to just cause you to think clearly. What did the Lord give for you? What grace of God do you realize? See? He was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Now, that's not just a money transaction when you think of the Lord. Just a couple of things. He lived in heaven. He came to earth. Now, we may think it's pretty nifty down here, but it's earth. See? That's grace. He came from heaven to earth. He was the King's Son in the workings of the Trinity, the Son of God. He's co-equal with the Father. He's the one in whom the Father delights. And all of that relationship he had from eternity past with his Father in heaven. And he became like one of us, see. He's God. And he became human. He emptied himself of the attributes or the exercise of that attributes and the rights to exercise those attributes. And he became just like us. I mean, all of that and more included in he was rich beyond measure. We can't even begin to calculate or to think how rich he was. And we can't begin to understand how poor he became in comparison to that. See? Any way you look at Jesus Christ from your vantage point, we simplify it. We say, well, we accept him as our Savior. We understand a lot more than that, see. He was rich, and he became poor for us, see. Ending in incarnation and death. That's a gift of grace. So every one of you, every one of us, including myself, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a Christian, We are recipients of that grace. You can never say, God, what have you done for me lately? See? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. See? And he did that graciously, became poor, so that we all, might become rich. And you're thinking now of your balance sheet, your house, your car, your whatever, and say, well, I'm not rich. See, not comparison to Bill Gates or somebody like that, you know. I don't own many shares of, what's that, Berkshire Hathaway or something for $125,000 a share. Put that in your stock market, you know. I'm not rich. And the answer is, you are far richer than you can even imagine because of grace. See? You were dead. Now you're alive as a believer. What's that worth? See? You are a common man. I was a common person. And now I'm a king's son. See? You are a king's child. See? You don't take a back seat to any human being. You are the king's child. See? You are rich. You lived on earth. You're a citizen of heaven. See? Any way you look at yourself, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Any way you look at yourself, and it's not your clothes and your bank account and your house and all that stuff, you're spending money. Any way you really look at yourself as a Christian, you are exceedingly, beyond any calculation, rich. See? And all that we are, is by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, whatever else Paul is going to continue to say about giving, you start with that. See? You start with that. Whatever else he says about giving, I understand how rich I am by the grace of God. And it has nothing to do with money. That's just part of the package. But that's what I understand, how rich I have been made by the grace of God. See? So it can't be a burden. It can't possibly be a burden. It's a response. Verse 12. If the readiness is present, it's acceptable to what a person has, not according to what he has. I mean, how has God been to you? Just how has he been? What you are, and what you have, see. And all kidding aside on bumper stickers, but a few years ago the Chamber of Commerce got at least one thing right. We do have it good here, see. Not necessarily better than Bangladesh, but we have it good here, see. What we have, see, that's the basis. What we have. What we are and what we have, we are rich beyond description by the grace of God, and what we have is an outflow of that. So, verse 13 through 15, and we're just running, see? We give out of what we have to meet needs. Needs in people, needs in functioning as a body and whatnot. We just meet needs, see? Not to build up account, see. But it tells us that there's no calculating, see. There's no begrudging. There's no compelling. It's just, I have, I give, see. That's all he's saying here, see. It's grace. And it's a function of the body. You're not giving to the church. You're giving in the body context, see. Some have needs and some have resources, and the needs are met by the resources, and it flips. This week it may be here to here. Next week it might be here to here, or a period might be years or 5 years, whatever. But it's the context that we're talking about here, see. It's a real working out of 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, see. If you have the world's goods and you see your brother has needs and you don't give to him, how does the love of God dwell in you? See, make that positive. You have the world's goods and you see your brother has needs and you give to him. That's how the love of God dwells in you. See, it's a body thing. It's not a church requirement. It's a body thing. That passage that we had Mike read for us out of First Chronicles. See. I mean, amazing Old Testament passage when we're always worried about some things in the Old Testament, and where David says in verse 14 of First Chronicles 29, just to read it again, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? All things come from you, and from your hand we have given you." See, we have received from the grace of God in any way you look at it, and we give. See, but there always are the calculators. There always are the number crunchers. They want to take out the numbers to the third decimal place. You know, there are always the guardians of the amount to make sure that they don't give more than is absolutely necessary. And their question is, how much is enough? How much should I give? How much is enough? And the answer to that is, if that's your question, don't worry about it. If how much is a problem, you just read this passage. Don't worry about it. Because it's not the amount that's the problem. Don't worry about the amount. Consider the grace of God. That's the problem. See, that's what he's saying here. And until you understand the grace of God, you will never understand giving. You'll miss the whole idea. You'll miss the whole reason. You'll miss the whole result. You'll miss everything about giving if you don't understand the grace of God in your life. See? Now, your money will be received and spent and thank you and whatnot, but you'll miss it all. See? In chapter 8, the key word was grace. When you think of giving, you think of grace. What's interesting in when we move to chapter 9 is we switch our key word. Chapter 9, verse 5. "I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift, so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness." The word is bountiful. Now, that's not an amount word, by the way. It's in English it is. We think of bountiful. We think of how much. The root of bountiful is blessing. See? Blessing. That's the root. See? Whatever Paul's going to be talking about is blessing, whether it's giving a blessing or receiving a blessing. That's the root meaning of this word. We say bountiful. We really ought to do something with it, make it reflect the concept of blessing. See? Chapter 8 ties our giving into the acknowledgement of the grace of God in our life. chapter 9 moves it over and says, hey, this thing that we call giving is related to blessing. See? And it's not affected by covetousness. It's not regarding the amount. See? Covetousness is a desire to have something that we don't have, but covetousness is also a desire to hang on to what we have. We don't want to lose anything, see? And verse 7 says our giving is not to be that way. Our giving under the idea of a blessing, see, is to be whatever I want. See? Whatever I want. God doesn't tell me how much to give. He says, each one does just as he has purposed in his heart. Whatever I want. That's amazing, isn't it? God trusts his people. Just give whatever you want. That's what he's saying. Purpose in your heart. Now, if you get away with purposing in your heart, I won't give anything, then, well, you may have a heart problem, but at least that's allowed here. If you purpose in your heart to give this, that's allowed here. See? It's self-determined, and it's not grudgingly, you know, I love that. I've had it for, you know, I worked hard for that, and it hurts, you know, grudge. Yeah. The word for grudgingly is lupes, and that has the idea of pain. Now, we think of grudging as an attitude. This grudging is a pain, see? It's a sorrow. It's the word. It's related to the word for tears, even, see? Do you cry when you give? I mean, it really hurts. Yeah. Gonna miss that nickel. Yeah, I hurt. Not grudgingly. It's not. It doesn't hurt me inside. It's not a sorrow. See. And it's not under compulsion. See. There's nothing that says, do it or else. You must. You have to. There's no must and have to. The word is necessity. Compulsion is necessity. There's no necessity. See, you're not under pressure. You really aren't. Do I have to give? No. I'm not under any compulsion to give. See? God loves a cheerful giver, and that's been misworked. The word has to do with an attitude. The word has to do with a good feeling. The word has to do with a sense of gladness. Not sad, but not indifferent either. It's not just not casual. It's really something that makes you cheerful. See? You're aware of what's happening and you cheerfully give. See? Verse 8, our old friend again, we give according to how God has made all grace abound to us. See? It is out of God's abundant grace that we give. Now, if God's grace is not abundant, then, right? But when you stop and think, that's a silly statement, isn't it? Because God's grace is abundant, see? And he says, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance to every good deed. See, I have enough. I have a sufficiency. That's the word, by the way, the same word used in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, saying, this is what we need, and having this, we're content. That's the word, content. We're sufficient. We're content. See? I have enough. I'm content. It's sufficient. My needs are met. See? And by God's grace and by God's ability, and we have to give Him this ability, He's able to not only meet my needs, but make sure my resources are enough that I can have an abundance and abounding, overflowing to give to other things. See? I can afford to give because God's grace is able to meet my needs and then give me an abundance. And again, that's just the principle, see. Verse 10, He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing, increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality. I mean, that's just the way it works. That's just the way it works. Your needs are met by God, and you have enough, and He makes it abound. See, that's just the way it works. See? The amazing thing that happens when we give, well, you see, I mean, it's not amazing. It's just the way it works. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Do you want to praise? Do you want God to get glory? Do you want people to turn to the Lord in thanksgiving? Do you want people to understand how they are being blessed by God? See, that's the net result of giving. See? Because what happens in verse 12, they see what's happening. They see these resources being given to meet their need, and they understand that those resources come from God through God's people, and they thank God for that. If you want to get God glory, see, that's what happens in giving. It's a ministry in verse 12 of service, see. It not only meets people's needs, it not only meets needs, but it causes them. It overflows through many thanksgiving to God. And some of you know, some of us, I think back way back in history, when you receive a gift from God's people and you say, thank you, God, for that. See? But what else is neat is that it reflects back on you as you give. See? They know that God, through God's people, gave to them, so they thank God. But they know that God's people gave, verse 13, because of their obedience to their confession of the gospel of Christ, and the contribution didn't come out of midair, it came from them. And so they glorify God for you. They say, those people really believe, see. Those people really, really understand the gospel. See? And how do they know that we are obedient to our confession? How do they know that we are obedient to our confession? Because we give, and they reap the benefits of our giving. See? And not only do they... Then they glorify God and say, God, you are doing a magnificent work in that group of people. You must be great, God, because look at what you're doing in them. See? And they glorify God because of our obedience. See? And not only glorify God, but you know what they do? They pray for us. See? Verse 14, they pray on our behalf. They yearn for us. They have their desire for us. And I think it's not necessarily that we all get together in one big happy family, but that they yearn for us. They want us to be what we are. They want God's blessing on us. They yearn for us because of the surpassing grace of God in us. They see how God is working in us. They glorify Him. They pray for us because they see God's grace. And they say, God, you're doing a magnificent work there. You see, the whole tenor of these two passages is whatever else giving is, it's not a calculation. It's not an amount. It's not an impersonal thing, see. It starts with us as persons realizing what God has done in our life, not, you know, totally, and we respond to that, and we respond to needs, and we give to meet those needs, just whatever, see. And it's a joy and a blessing. And it relates, and it ends up with glory to God and prayer for us by other people. See? It's just, I mean, it's just good. The whole picture is all good. And that's, see. And you say, I don't give that way. I'd rather tithe. Well, go ahead. That's fine. See? You see, He doesn't leave us with that. He doesn't leave us with that. Just to wrap it all up, He says, let's think about one thing when we think about giving. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. See? If the whole tenor of these two passages fits in that we give as a response to how God has given to us, see, His gracious work on our behalf, see, and our response is based on our understanding of the grace of God, it starts with John 3:16 or something like that, right? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. See? And everything for us starts with that verse. See? And you try to describe it. Sit at your dinner table and say, now let's describe the gift of Jesus Christ. And you can't do that. You can say a lot about it. You can talk about it historically. You can talk about it how it personally, the life that you have because of your faith in Jesus Christ. You can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and you haven't even scratched the surface on what it means that God gave Jesus Christ. See? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Try to describe your life, see, through Jesus Christ our Lord. You run out of words sooner or later, and you haven't even started, see. At least I do, see. But in the context here, verse 15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. The context is, that's how you think about giving, see. I respond to that. See? I can't describe it, but the reality of it in my life is such that the only thing that fits is for me to give. See? The effect of believing, the effect of receiving the grace of God, and the effect of the grace of God on my life every single day that I'm here. I give myself. I give my resources. And I do it just because I do it. That's all I can do. That's all. That's the only response that I can have. See? So, enough on giving, but just think of these principles. It's a ministry, it's a service, it's a joy, it's a blessing. It's what you do because of who you are. How you got to be here today, the grace of God, and your giving responds to that. As a recipient of His indescribable gift, you become a giver. That's all. So do what you want. It'll be enough. It'll be enough. It'll be how God works in your life, but it starts with your relationship to Him through His grace, and then you'll be a giver. Let's pray. Father, cause us to think clearly. It should be a joy. May it be. It should be a blessing. It should result in thanksgiving to You, praise to You for Your work in our midst, even. To say with David, who am I and who are these people that we can give this way? Because everything we have is from You. Give us that heart. Turn our hearts to You. I thank You for what You do in each life here. You are a gracious God. We are Your servants. In Your name, amen. Turn to number 185. Appropriate song to sing when you think of giving. It's not "We Give Thee But Thine Own," which is also another song, but this one, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," the indescribable gift. When I see that, my richest gain I count but loss. Verse 4, if I had everything, it'd be too small. Because this grace manifested in the giving of Jesus Christ demands my soul, my life, my all. Let's stand, please. We'll sing just the first and the last verse of 185. On the last verse, you sing so well. This is a good song. We'll sing it a cappella. We'll have the instruments on the first verse, and then the last verse we'll sing a cappella. And just as you sing that, just think of the words. Think of your response to what the Lord has done in your life. And then, Steve, would you come and close in prayer?
When I survey
together. Heavenly Father, what amazing grace has been poured out upon our lives. We are recipients of grace day by day. We are strengthened by the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And we thank you that we now have the great privilege to respond in giving, to respond to your incredible provision for our lives. We thank you for the challenge that how we are to use our resources, how we are to use what you have given to us. We recognize our unworthiness before you, and who are we before you? For you have given to us all that we are, all that we possess. So, Father, help us to be faithful stewards. Bless the day, the week ahead, but especially today, we thank you for the mothers, the wives. We thank you for their gift to us. Bless today, we ask in Jesus' name.